Hi, and welcome to episode 11 of the Unpacking Weight Science podcast called Unboxing Wellness Marketing. I'm your host, Fiona Willer, weight neutral professional development dietitian, academic, and size acceptance advocate. Our learning goals for today are to develop an understanding of the legal limitations on marketing wellness foods, to identify key messages used by wellness product marketers to persuade the public to buy their product, and to recognize the techniques used in wellness marketing. Okay, so I started ramping things up on Instagram at the start of this year. I was on a PhD break developing this podcast, and I wanted to get better at Instagram and see what it was all about. My shtick on Instagram is highlighting bad weight science and the terrible consequences that these incorrect beliefs can have in research and for the public. So I obviously post about food and nutrition science a fair bit, and initially I categorised myself as health something on Instagram in the categories. And as my following on Instagram grew, thanks to great support from amazing humans, thank you if you've shared my stuff on there, I really appreciate it. Anyway, I started getting approached by health and wellness brands to spruik their products, mostly by direct message on Insta, and one lot even sent me some samples of their product to try from another country, without asking if I wanted them. So, as a thank you for managing to completely misread my material on Instagram, I'm going to unpick their marketing strategy in this episode. I've now changed my profile category to public figure instead of health and wellness or whatever it was, and sadly I don't get free stuff anymore, I just get more romantic propositions. Yay, internet. Right, so this massive box arrived at my parents' post office box addressed to me, and they live in a different town 8 hours drive away, yay Australia. So I had my mother open the box as I had no idea what it might have been. It was quite heavy and it was marked as fragile. So she opened it and read out the letter, and I said, right, put it all back together and keep it somewhere safe for me. This will be great material. Eventually, I got the box into my hands, and this is what was inside. So one letter addressed to me personally, an A4 double-sided glossy product information flyer, a heap of bubble wrap, and two 750ml glass bottles of apple cider vinegar. Now, as a dietitian, we do get sent product samples from time to time, and the trade hall at our conferences is filled with big food and big dietary supplements trying to convince us that we should all be recommending their products to our clients and in our hospitals. It's a samples bonanza if you're into that kind of thing. But when we're used to being given small samples, not entire 750ml bottles of stuff, let alone two of them, unsolicited. So I'm going to dissect their arguments for your listening pleasure and highlight the tricks used in wellness food marketing to persuade us to open our wallets and our mouths for just about anything. As a gentle disclaimer, if you take apple cider vinegar yourself, I'm not directing my criticism at you personally. I'm happy for adults to do whatever they like with their own bodies, but there are risks in using foods to treat bodily symptoms, risks which arise from the food itself, like does it have any harmful effects by itself, and risks related to opportunity cost if using the food to control the symptom means that the symptom has to get much worse before you take it to be looked at by a health professional, and potentially that then is delaying a diagnosis of a potentially life-limiting condition and leading to a potentially earlier death than you would have had you had an earlier diagnosis. So if you're experiencing gastrointestinal symptoms or fatigue or infection or any of other conditions that proponents of apple cider vinegar suggest that it can remedy, please also see your primary care provider just in case. This episode discusses the techniques used by marketers of these sorts of products to persuade people to buy their product. I don't mind if you use it or not. So the science of wellness marketing is really the science of persuasion and communication, targeted towards a particular market segment or type of person. Emotional appeals work well, they work more than appeals to rationality. And in wellness marketing, they want to make you think that their product is going to imbue them with health, beauty, and vitality. It's the best life myth, again. So health messaging is actually about fear of death and illness. Social media marketing, and particularly on Instagram, is an example of pull marketing rather than push marketing. So push marketing is the traditional method where the product seller blasts their potential consumers with information about the product. The free stuff that I got sent and the information is an example of push marketing. They shoved it in front of my face. Pull marketing is when companies want the customer to come to them. And they can do that by mass media campaigns with competitions attached, trying to generate word of mouth and trying to generate a hunger for that product in the community by running limited edition promos or some sort of scarcity gambit. And that fear of missing out thing has a strong power over humans, so it pulls them in. Social media is a perfect medium for pull marketing, as it allows for the communication of information, knowledge, values, and ethics related to the service or product in order to entice the customer to interact, to pull them in. The potential customers have a relationship with the product and the person spruiking the product back and forth, which increases loyalty to the product brand or type of thing being talked about and emulates word of mouth marketing. So rather than hearing about a product from a literal real life flesh and blood could reach out and touch you, friend, you hear about a product and its use from someone who feels like a friend on social media, who appears alongside humans who actually know you, and then if you use it and like it, you then become the promoter. So it's an incredibly cheap method compared with mass media, and it's really effective marketing, really, given that it targets potential customers much more accurately than if it were sitting in a shop waiting for customers to stumble upon it there. Me talking about the product to my followers functions as a review or testimonial rather than advertisement. And testimonials are so persuasive that registered and self-registered health professionals in Australia aren't allowed to use them when they advertise their services. We're not allowed to. Apple cider vinegar, the stuff that I got sent, is interesting because it wears two hats. Firstly, it's a legitimate type of food, used in recipes, particularly good in salad dressings because it's tangy and it tastes pleasant when diluted in water. It's a bit like zingy cordial. But in addition to its identity as a food, it has an alternative identity as a health tonic. Its use has been recorded across ancient and modern civilization. The Phoenicians thousands of years ago used it to try to treat a heap of things, from dandruff to poisoning to toothache. And because it has some properties that seemed magical before germ theory, it picked up a heap of other magical powers along the way. It is an original superfood. As a downside, it strips the enamel from your teeth and can deliver chemical burns to your skin, mouth, and esophagus, depending on its concentration. At a pH of between 2 and 4, it's pretty seriously acidic, and consumers and home brewers need to be aware of the acid concentration of the vinegar so they don't inadvertently get hurt. One reason for vinegar's ubiquity is that it's straightforward to make. Apples, apple juice, allow it to ferment itself, boom, enjoyable alcoholic apple cider, then just leave it some more and hey presto, apple cider vinegar. It's yeasts initially that turn the juice to booze, into ethanol, and then bacteria that turn the booze to vinegar, into acetic acid. Any booze left out in the air will eventually turn to vinegar. Remember that time you left a half-finished bottle of wine behind the couch for a week? Well, you can now add artisanal vinegar maker to your CV. Vinegar is excellent at killing bacteria because of its acidity, so it can clean wounds, it's excellent at bleaching and removing odours, so it's helpful in washing textiles, and there are loads of other practical non-woo uses. So you can see why it's been with us for so long, and why all cultures throughout history have used vinegar for various things. Historically, it was safer to drink alcohol or vinegared water, so you got food poisoning less if you did that. It was used widely in military settings before we were very good at purifying water and treating wounds. And it's plausible that soldiers that drank a shot of vinegar with their meals, essentially making their stomachs the mixing vessel rather than the cups or plates, were less susceptible to food poisoning and thus perceived as stronger and healthier. Our own stomach acid is also pretty strong, and that does this job too, but perhaps vinegar gave it a little boost, along with a heavy dose of the placebo effect. So remember, these days our food safety is actually much better than it was back then as well. Let's get back to what has to be considered when marketing these types of food products now. Firstly, what constraints are there on the sale of food products? Well, in Australia, there is the Food Standards Code, which stipulates what must be on labels and the kind of claims that can't be on labels. I know that there are international listeners to this podcast. You'll probably have something similar in your country of residence. Like a lot of regulatory stuff, there's a lot of policy copy and paste between similar countries. Our Food Standards Code concerns itself with nutrition claims and health claims, and this broadly means that you can't claim that your product cures anything unless there's a strong scientific evidence of that, and you can't claim that it helps to control a medical condition unless it has at least a specified amount of a factor that has been shown to help control the condition, and that that factor and the claim is also one approved by the Food Standards Code. But they allow producers to self-regulate, which means that they can be cheeky. It relies on someone making a complaint to the regulatory board after the product has hit the market. Similarly, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC, is responsible for ensuring that individuals and businesses comply with Australian competition, fair trading and consumer protection laws, in particular the Competition and Consumer Act of 2010. In the case of our apple cider vinegar here, we could complain to the ACCC if they make statements that are incorrect or likely to create a false impression. And this includes if they claim that the use of their product will result in a health benefit without clear evidence of that being the case. Again, enforcing this law requires consumers to make a complaint about the product, so dodgy products can go to market unhindered and snapped up by buyers who assume that regulation happens before it hits the shelves. I'll bet that you or someone you know has said they wouldn't be able to sell it if it didn't work, right? Well, unfortunately, that's wrong. The bystander effect is in play here too. So also don't assume that someone else has made a complaint about the product. If you see a breach, please report it. Okay, let's have a look at the letter they sent me. I'm not going to tell you who they are. Instead, I'll be referring to any identifying details as watermelon, because I love watermelon. Right, here we go. Hi, Fiona. I'm Watermelon from Watermelon Organics. I'm reaching out to you as I've noticed the great work you are doing in the health and wellness space. Watermelon Apple Cider Vinegar is a premium handcrafted health tonic. We're a family business based in Watermelon, lovingly producing the finest apple cider vinegar. We're organic, unfiltered, unmessed with, so of course it contains the mother. And we never add water to our product. My father makes it in a traditional way by fermenting tree-ripened organic apples and maturing the vinegar in oak barrels like a fine wine. That's why we have the most delicious, health-giving product on the market. We aren't industrially produced like the big boys, no concentrates here, and we're seriously committed to helping people heal their own bodies. I would love for you to try our watermelon organic apple cider vinegar so you can taste the difference and experience the wonderful benefits from regularly drinking a quality vinegar. If you do love it as much as we do, spoiler, you will, we would love for you to share the secret with your subscribers, followers and clients so they can live a healthier life as well. You can find out more on our website, so wherever possible, please include a link to watermelon.com. Through here, customers can use our interactive map tool to find their closest watermelon stockist. Are there other ways we may be able to bring extra value to your audience? I love the thought of working alongside you, so please let me know any ideas about how I can help you help your audience. Send us an email to watermelon with any thoughts you may have, and we can go from there. We're looking forward to getting your feedback and seeing your posts. Thanks again, and please get in touch at Watermelon. Thanks, Watermelon from Watermelon. So that was a letter. I'm not going to read the flyer verbatim, but I'll describe it. So it's quite colourful, mostly an orange tone, sort of warm colours, orange, black, white. And we've got images of the bottle, so the label. We've got a few sort of organic certification logos there. The pictures, we've got apples cut and whole apples sitting on a wooden table. We've got a picture of a presumably an apple grove, an apple blossom. We've got some barrels, some oak barrels maturing. And the food ones, we've got the bottle is surrounded by some different foods. We've got avocado, we've got some kale, lemon, apples, green apples, almonds, basil, a little spoonful of sea salt, a little spoonful of chili flakes, it looks like, on a marble bench top. And we've got an image of an older man with a younger woman. I presume that's the father who makes the vinegar with the daughter who writes the letters. And then we've got some frequently asked questions and some instructions on how to use the product, including use it each and every day, a spoonful in a glass of water, each morning, a spoonful in a glass of water before bed, a splash into your water bottle as a zesty salad dressing. So, because I'm a total nerd, what I did was did a keyword analysis and then I did a thematic analysis on the keywords. So here are the themes I found. Attending to tradition, family, taking care of our customers, natural, pure, health benefits, medicinal, quality, taste, and an invitation to join. Well, let's go through them now. So firstly, attending to tradition. So they've told us about this by using words like traditional way, handcrafted, not industrially processed like the big boys. They're using the mother traditional process. And the message there is that we're not as big as a scary business conglomerate. We do this for love. And this is the real deal, using traditional methods, because the public has a blind spot for remembering that food safety standards are a relatively new thing. And before we move on from the mother, I just want to talk to a sec about that. So using mother of vinegar method, which is called the Orleans method. I never thought I would know so much about vinegar, but anyway. The producers are able to produce vinegar more quickly as the SCOBYs, that's the other word for mother. SCOBY stands for symbiotic community of bacteria and yeasts. So they've got this like hunk of gunk called the mother or the SCOBY that starts fermentation immediately instead of having it sit around and let the air provide the starting bacteria. And so for all the time they spend talking about the mother in their materials, the two bottles they sent me don't even have any sediment alone, let alone blobs of gunge. Okay, so then the next category is family. So the messages they send us about family, they've got the picture of the dad and presumably the daughter. They talk about the father. They talk about being a family business, that it's family run. They also talk about it being local, but I mean, it's not in any way local to where I am. And it's about as local to me as anything is local to anyone. So it's a bit of a non-word. But the message there is that they're totally trustworthy because blood is thicker than water. Except in real life, there's lots of toxic families where everyone ends up traumatized and with attachment and adjustment issues. But in any case, the idea of a perfect family is what they're playing on here. Then we've got the taking care of our customers category. So they do this by telling us that it's lovingly produced, that they're seriously committed to helping people heal their own bodies, that my followers could live a healthier life. Because it's magical, and they say many customers experience positive effects. So the message here is that these words are substituting for a glowing testimonial of our product's superpowers. They're telling us that it's good and that other people benefit. Moving on to the natural category here, words like tree ripened. We've got those images of lemons and flowers and apples and lush apple tree groves. And alongside other like key alternative health type foods like kale and avocado. It's just hilarious. Anyway, sun ripened, strong environmental custodianship. So the message here is that if you're into other things which are natural, like things that people sell at farmers markets, where we've pictured our bottle beside, then this is your sort of product. So they're wanting people to feel familiar with it and that it's natural, fits into that sort of genre. Now onto the pure category. So they're telling us it's pure by saying things like we never add water, it's unmessed with, it's organic, unfiltered, bottled in glass, not watered down. I mean, they talk a lot about not being diluted, and then they give a warning saying don't use it undiluted. And so the message here is that other apple cider vinegars are full of crap, and our product is so pure that it's dangerous, which proves that it's pure and safe or something. You can see here that they're not really worried about accuracy. They're much more concerned with us getting the idea that their product is pure. Moving on to health benefits. So they call it a health tonic, health giving. Notice that like just the word health is actually very nebulous. There's no agreed upon definition of health that they've given on the brochure, let alone in science. Like health is so such a hard to define concept. And that's part of them sidestepping being responsible about what their product actually does. Just talking about its healthfulness means that they don't actually have to provide evidence of such. Health benefits wise, they also talk about it being, like they position it as being medicinal. So they want you to drink it twice a day. They give a dosage to have, you know, how much to have and exactly how much to have, how much water to have it in. Very similar to medicine. And they want you to have it every day forever, by the sounds of things. They then, in terms of, you know, vaguely more specific health claims, they say that it balances the body's pH levels. It was very difficult to not have balanced pH levels because that's what homeostasis is. So, you know, they're counting on the fact that the body does that for you. But if you drink it, the body's not going to not do that for you. So therefore, they can't prove that the apple cider vinegar isn't doing it. Well, that's their claim anyway. And rather than give actual evidence, they say that the properties of apple cider vinegar have been reported in scientific and lay publications. So again, they're sidestepping actually providing any evidence itself to say that other people have done it for us. And I mean, that does make sense because people will, if they're not sure what a product does, particularly something like apple cider vinegar, all of those words, like none of those words are scary. They're very Googleable. And so if somebody, even if someone's standing in front of the shelf at the shop, in front of the host of different types of apple cider vinegar, they're going to be able to grab out their phone and Google what the hell it is. And of course, the first hits are the ones that are filled with woo information about it. So the materials for this specific product don't have to have any specific claims because the internet does that job for them. The overall message here with the health claims is that they have bottled health and here is their prescription for it. They've also called it a functional food. So I just want to have a quick aside about that. And they've taken their definition straight from the Mayo Clinic website because I Googled the words and bang, came up straight away. I had to then go and look at what an academic description of a functional food is. And basically the definition is so broad that virtually every food could fall under it. So an unfunctional food would be something that just provides calories, fat, protein, carbohydrates, and its naturally occurring essential vitamins and minerals. But as soon as something else is found in it or added to it that's been linked to some health outcome, like fiber, like phytochemicals, fortified foods, pre or probiotics, then it falls under a functional food umbrella. So all fruit and veg is already functional. All grain foods, all fortified foods like flours with added folate, yogurts with bifidobacteria that have been associated with gut health, eggs from chickens that have been fed a fortified diet, etc. Like they're all considered functional foods now. So, I mean, yes, it's a functional food, but that's like everything else is as well. Quality. And so particularly this draws parallels to winemaking and fine winemaking. They're at pains in their materials to show that it's a quality product. So they use the phrase maturing in oak barrels like a fine wine. We've got a picture of that on the flyer. Quality, bottled in glass, again, like wine. So they want you to believe that it's a prestige product. And of course, prestige products are associated with a bit more cost as well. So I Googled how much, because there was no information on the materials that I got sent about how much it costs to buy this, if I was going to recommend it to my audience. It's not that expensive. It's about middle of the road for the others. It's probably got the prettiest label, but it doesn't, you know, from at face value, it's not a gorgeous looking product. Anyway, they want us to believe that it is a prestige product. Moving on to taste, they tell us that it's delicious. They tell us that we'll be able to taste the difference. They say that they love it and that I'll love it. And they say that their flavour is far superior than other brands. So the message here is that you're going to gag less on this product than the other ones you've tried. So I'm no apple cider vinegar connoisseur, but many bloggers have recounted that apple cider vinegar tastes dreadful. So they're trying to convince us here that it doesn't taste as dreadful as the rest. And then finally, the last theme is an invitation to join. So this is like absolute gold standard pull marketing here. So we want you to find out more. There's an interactive map. Work alongside us. Let us help your audience. Become part of our family because we care about your money. Okay, so we've worked out that they're relying heavily on ideas of purity and tradition here. And in those who are suspicious of the medical establishment already, they're more suspicious to traditional, perceived as safe ways of doing things because they're seen as tried and tested. And pure and natural are seen as always good, despite the fact that purification makes things far more dangerous and that cancer is itself a natural process. So we would assume, reasonably, that they know who their customers are, either from conducting actual market research with consumers or from mimicking the marketing norms of their competitors. There's also this phenomenon called crank magnetism that operates in complementary and alternative health and lifestyle circles where people who are spruiking or supporting one kind of alternative or anti-establishment approach are more likely to also support other alternative or anti-establishment approaches. The official definition of crank magnetism is propensity of cranks to hold multiple irrational, unsupported or ludicrous beliefs that are often unrelated to one another, and the tendency to add more of these kinds of beliefs over time. So Pete Evans, who will be well known to Australian listeners, has been spruiking paleo diets over recent years, but along the way has added dietitian and doctor bashing, anti-fluoride and anti-vaccination messages to his portfolio, and gushed about his connections with other BS peddlers, including the king of BS himself, Joseph McCullough. So I suspect it's some kind of in-group loyalty thing, so united together against mainstream ideas, even though their own soapbox issues are in philosophical conflict with each other. It happens not just in the health-related fields. Conspiracy theorists are more likely to ascribe to multiple conspiracy theories in different domains. There's an overlap between climate change deniers and flat earthers, for instance. And wellness guru types may also flock together because they know their followers overlap, and thus their potential customers come from the same group as well. So it makes sense that they wouldn't try that hard to legitimize their products and services, like conduct proper randomized controlled trials, etc., because they don't have to make a buck or to continue to make bucks. The human capacity for swallowing fake messages, particularly these days, seems to be limitless. In terms of apple cider vinegar, it's not something that dietitians advise the use of therapeutically. It's not part of medical nutrition therapy for any condition. It's not supported by scientific trials to do anything magical in terms of treating or avoiding disease. So that means that it falls under the complementary and alternative medicine, or CAM, umbrella. And a recent academic paper has summarised the characteristics of CAM users. So personality traits associated with CAM use are tend to be female, middle-aged, higher levels of spirituality, lower emotional role functioning, lower perceived health, have serious chronic or longer illness, a higher level of education, and previous transformational experience leading to a worldview change. They tend to have a holistic view of health problems. And interestingly, the top medical conditions treated with CAM are back pain and related pathology, depression, insomnia, headache or migraine, and stomach or intestinal issues. And conversely, patients who rely primarily on alternative medicine for their healthcare are more likely to distrust conventional healthcare providers, distrust hospitals, desire control over health matters, express dissatisfaction with conventional practitioners, and have a belief that the importance of one's inner life and experiences on their overall well-being. So back to our apple cider vinegar now. Another important point to note is what they're not talking about in their materials. So instead of providing scientific evidence of efficacy to do something, they're relying on people's general knowledge about apple cider vinegar. They're not talking about any new findings, but basing their messaging on the trustworthiness of tradition. They don't have a health practitioner or other expert on the effects of the product talking about the product. Instead, the stand-in for authority is the father figure at the head of the family-run company. The information about dosing but not about medical efficacy positions it as medicinal, which fits into that paternalistic trope. It's a classic bait and switch. What does it do? It makes you feel good. Yeah, but how do I know it works? It's been used as a health tonic for thousands of years. A what? How do I know it works? It's natural and so is your body, so it works. And ours works better because it's pure, and pure natural is better than impure natural, which is what your body is also if you don't use it. They would do better to choose their internet influencers more wisely. Well, I have enjoyed my brief time as an Instagram influencer, even if just to prompt me to look into the wilds of wellness marketing strategy. So that's it for this episode. The supporting materials, which include the show notes, research links, and self-test quiz, are available upfront for current subscribers, only $5 a month, which is a total bargain, or can be purchased in a bundle if you're catching up later. See unpackingweightscience.com for details. And next time, the episode is What the 5%? Type 2 Diabetes and Weight Loss Recommendations. We continually hear this magical 5% weight loss goal for people with type 2 diabetes, that losing 5% of your body weight is going to result in protecting you from all sorts of terrible diabetes-related things. So I'm going to talk to you about where this figure has come from, why it misconstrues its own science, and weight-neutral ways to manage diabetes and the diabetes healthcare environment. So until next time, goodbye.